Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Episode 14. Take some obvious bozos. Man, 14 episodes. It's crazy how fast time flies. I'm Drew. Joining me, the creator of the Strickland Emoji Madness that if you were not a patron, you completely missed out on. Shout out to Clyde beating Dolan, which was wonderful to see. Shout out to the fact that Fat Face Dolan didn't make it to the finals. Shout out to everyone who still has not shown and proven to me what fat face means. None of you did it after I dared you all, so clearly I'm in the right. But anyway, I digress. He is our social media everything from any post you see, except when Comrade does his stuff. It is Zach Ladder. Zach, how is it going?
It is going great. 14 is my favorite number, by the way. Not for any reason, but the fact that we made it to episode 14 is pretty awesome. And this will be a good one.
I sure hope so. But listen, when you guys are downloading this from iTunes or Google, wherever you listen to your pod, you're going to see the description. And you're going to know how great this episode is going to be. But before we get into anything, you know, we have a great partner and supporter of the show, and that is BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get into the action. Bet online, where the games start. And then don't forget, at the Strickland, we have all of every type of social media thing. We are on Instagram. We are on TikTok. We have a Patreon. If you go to Patreon, we have a Patreon, not a patron. We have patrons, but a Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/the Strickland, you can sign up. You can get the whole show for the $6 tier, the Friday episode of Pod Strickland. The $9 tier has the NFL pod, Strictly NFL with Jeff and Con. I think they're talking NFL draft. Is that correct, Zach? Or did the NFL draft happen? And the
NFL draft is in 12 days. So the countdown is it's firing up. It's heating up the discussions, the rankings, you know, they're cooking over there. So
yeah, so you definitely gotta do that. In these tiers, you get special articles from the professor Matthew Miranda. He wrote a bunch of great stuff for our patrons. So definitely check that out. Follow us. Definitely follow us on Instagram. If you're already following us on X, I mean, I think these days are numbered on that platform. So just make sure you are following us on other platforms like Instagram and TikTok. Probably more so TikTok. I want all the Gen Z listeners who clearly listen to this show.
Hey, I'm working on getting more of them. I'm working on recruiting more of them.
That's what we need the youth on the show. But no, follow us everywhere. If you go to the strict.land, you can get all this information as well. So and you get access to our Discord, which allows you to submit takes, because we don't take takes from anywhere else outside the Discord. And the only way to do that is to join our Patreon. So go and do that. It's definitely worth it. It's one of the, we have a good time in there. It's fun. It's fun, exhilarating. We talk about all different things. So check it out. Yeah. Zach has not seen the questions beforehand. I prepped everything. So if your question didn't make it, especially if you're talking about giving next takes or takes from HP basketball, you know, like guys who are obviously bozos, I didn't add them. You already know it's a bad take. So there's certain things that are added because you already know. Zach hasn't seen it, so I'm very excited because we're going to get fresh reactions. Zach, are you ready?
I'm ready. I actually did just skim them, so
oh.
I spoiled it for myself. But I it's okay. I didn't give them a hard look, so I'll be surprised.
So our first take is from Young Pavardi. We can win the East even without our great friend and leader of the program, Julius Randle. So I want to hear your thoughts first on this. Do you think, is this a good take, a bad take? Do you think this is achievable? Anything and everything in between.
I'll start this from the beginning because when we got that news, you know, that I think it was a Thursday morning when the Randle surgery news happened, mm-hmm. I was so down in the dumps and I was so angry. And like, I let the emotions get the best of me right in the moment, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, you know what? And this was also before we had heard that OG was like taking contact and was approaching a return. Like at this point we had nothing on OG and Randle was shut down and like the vibes That's were right. in the gutter. Nothing. So I was like, you know what? If we are in this state, I was like, don't even rush OG back. Like I actually had a tweet. I was like, if OG's not 100%, like don't even try it. Like just pack it in. Unless he's perfectly good to go, just pack it in. And I'm like, you know what? Just push it. See you in 2025. You know, this shit is over. That was bad. That was bozo take on my part that I shouldn't have let the emotions get the best of me.
It's okay. It happens. It happens on those early days when the news is fresh.
The news was fresh. And then, you know, we got the supplementary news that OG was taking contact like a few hours later. I think because that the Randle surgery news came out like 11 in the morning and then we had a game at 7:30 that night. So like 6 o'clock during Tibbs' pregame media, he was like, oh yeah, OG's pretty good. Like OG's taking contact. And then the next game ended up playing and ended up looking okay. So that like made me change course completely. And just seeing how OG has been like these past 3 or 4 games, it really feels like every single game he's showing something new. The jump shot mm-hmm. looked awesome last night. I know you didn't watch this game, but we played the Brooklyn Nets last night in the third quarter. I think he hit 3 threes in the third quarter, maybe 4 threes in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter. Defense has just been incredible. This guy is a one of one, made in a lab, bionic alien cyborg thing that gets infinite deflections and steals and mm-hmm. the rebounding hasn't been great, but he's still a physical presence around the rim. And it has just, I really think like he is like the Uno card that just defeats every single star player in the East.
He's the +4.
I don't know what he is. +4. Exactly. Yeah. He's like the all color +4 defensively in this league.
Okay.
And seeing him against Giannis, like there's very, very few players who can, when Giannis is a full head of steam in the, like, even if it's a fast break or if it's like an isolated side of the court, OG's like putting work in on Giannis, and Giannis is going to mm-hmm. get his numbers against anybody, but it looked really, really difficult for him in that Milwaukee game. And you just threw him on Dame and it looked good. He had a couple of possessions on Portis where he looked okay. Like what OG gives this team in the playoffs, it makes me feel that there isn't any team that we match up with and I'm like, oh shit, we're fucked. Like I really think like we are in it. Like we have a fighting chance against Boston. We have a fighting chance against Milwaukee, definitely against Miami, definitely against Philly and mm-hmm. any of these teams. So can we win the East without our great friend and leader of the program, Julius Randle, according to Schwinn? I say yes. I'm ready to talk myself into it. Brunson is a whole other player than what he was last year. This guy has reached another level offensively. Dante is amazing. I mean, you can't really – I mean, people are going to double Brunson. But if you're doubling off of OG, if you're doubling off of Dante, good luck. Like, mm-hmm. good luck. Have fun leaving those two guys open. And Mitch is kind of rounding into form. Hartenstein has looked amazing. And I like where even Bojan is like kind of hitting his shots now, feeling a little more confident, pulling up, you know. So I like what we have. I like the fact that we can go big in certain lineups. We can go really small in certain lineups. We have a lot of scheme versatility, especially with OG. And I like our chances. Like a lot of great samples against Boston, a good sample against Milwaukee. And we're ready to go. So good take.
Yeah. So in case you guys are wondering when Zach says yesterday, in case you're listening to this podcast, you know, 10 years down the line, this is April 13th. 2024. It's a Saturday. The Knicks played the Brooklyn Nets last Friday. I meant the yesterday in that case, which would be April 12th. I did not watch the game yet. I plan to watch it because, you know, I got that free league pass thanks to voting for Jason Tatum's shoes. My favorite Celtic in that very moment that was giving me free. That's been great though, watching games. But no, watching that Celtics game. If people want to come up with the excuses that like they didn't show up, they didn't need the win, all this sort of stuff, right? And I look at it like, okay, that's great, but they didn't show up, and that's bad news. And I think they have a chance. Like, the Knicks have a puncher's chance. I really do think that, even without Randall. When they had Randall and that team was fully healthy, we were all like, this is a championship team. It's a very small thing, and it's not. Knicks fans, I actually delved into the low post while I was doing laundry.
Wow.
The yesterday, which would be Friday, and Zach Lowe, Zach Lowe was even like, when the Knicks were healthy in January, he thought they were like a championship team. Like, even like, it's not just Knicks fans saying that, it's notorious, even the notorious Knicks hater Zach Lowe was like, this team is great. And the things you were hitting on too, you can't, like, if you watch that Milwaukee game, you can't drop on Brunson, you can't sag off of Brunson. You can't. He's very much Steph-like in that respect. He's having one of those, he's having like a Steph season where he is very much, you can't just let him cook, right? Like, similar to like Steph, you can't let him cook, which is, don't let him shoot open shots. He's going to make them and he's going to make you pay. Brunson is in that respect where he's going to get behind the defense and he's going to get to his spot and he's going to make a shot. So you have to double him or you have to press him. The Celtics were pressing him the entire third quarter when they actually decided to try to play some defense. It still didn't work, right? Like, even that doesn't work, because if you double off him, you have four players on the court in that starting lineup where Hartenstein can play make both out of the short roll and the high post. Josh Hart can play make out of the short roll. You can't leave Dante open. You can't leave OG open. So even when you're doubling, the Knicks have very specific counters to that double. If you do it, because they're playing all in sync. Everyone can pass. Everyone makes the right decision, the right reads. They can knock down shots. Even like with the bench lineups, like, you bring in Deuce. Deuce has been hitting shots. He can do a little something. If Boyan's going to keep playing like this, you can't leave him open either. Like, the Knicks are very versatile and they have a shot. And I look at the Celtics, and even in that game, they settled for so many threes. And that has always been like my biggest concern with the Celtics, where they minimized three-point variation by having elite three-point shooters, right? Like, yeah, Porzingis, stupid-ass Al Horford still makes his open threes, right? Like, they have guys that minimize that three-point variation. But then you have Jason Tatum, who's their star player. Like, no, I'm just going to settle for a three-point shot. I'm not going to attack the rim. I'm not going to pressure the defense. I'm going to settle for a three. And if you're just doing one pass, settle three, brick, your Knicks pushing out in transition, it's a bad recipe. And I think the Celtics play terribly. And that's my biggest concern. They'll be better, right? I think they'll be better in the playoffs. So I'm not trying to dismiss the Celtics, but they did show their one weakness by not showing up and taking the easy way out. And you can't take the easy way out in the Knicks. Like, you have to grind with them every single point. And the only team that's really done that is the Kings, interestingly enough, where they're the only team like, no, we're going to push, and we're going to counter their physicality with more physicality. And the Kings are the only, I think, feel like they're the only team that really plays the Knicks well. But, like, we'll see. I think they have a shot. I don't think it's impossible. I really don't. So, Schwinn, that's a good take. And yeah, that's even without Randall.
You know, can I add one small thing to it? I will say, like, if you want to find a silver lining of the situation that we found ourselves in, is, let's say Randall's healthy. There's a ton of pressure on this team to, like, go out and do something serious. Like, if Randall was healthy and we made the second round and lost to Miami again, looks bad on us. Looks really, really bad on us. Let's say we make the second round this year again and lose to Miami, but Randall's out. I'm sleeping a little bit better knowing, like, hey, we didn't have our full squad. And, like, I don't want to, like, start drawing up excuses already for stuff that's not even happening. But I think we're kind of playing with house money a little bit, you know, not having Randall here and just seeing what we have. And, like, we got guys under contract next year and we know we can always run this back. So let's just see what we have. Try this extended usage Brunson. Try this OG and see what we can do. So
I'm with you. It's been house money this entire, like, Randall goes out basically half the season. OG misses most of the year. Two, and if certain things break a certain way after this pod is released, the Knicks could be the 2 seed. That's not out of the realm of possibility. So, like, and they did this without Randle and OG for pretty much most of the second half of the season.
And Mitch, and also, it was like three quarters of the season.
Yes, and Mitch. And then also in turn, right, they traded away RJ and Quickly to bring in OG, who missed time, right? So, like, there's just a lot of key players missing, and the Knicks still did this season. Like, it's been wonderful.
Still might win 50 games. Like, we're right there. So
yeah, it's really a possibility. It's crazy. And then Wamperm in reply to Schwinn goes, despite the fact that I think this is possible, we've all gained a new appreciation for Julius these last few months, and oddly enough, getting injured has cemented his legacy as a beloved Knick. I think he has a point there, right? I think the Randle coaster with everything like that, he's been injured. We saw him after he came up with the excuse, right? He's like, oh, I'm coming back from injury. And it's like, okay, Julius, like, you had enough time. But apparently was true.
Yeah.
And he only got better after the trade with the Quickly and RJ trade. And you just saw the way Randle was playing, and you're just like, yeah, maybe there is something to it. Maybe there is, like, maybe something finally clicked. And yeah, I think so. He's had his up and down year. We were all highly critical of him. We all wanted him traded. I remember being like, let's trade him for Bogey, right? Like, let's just dump him to Detroit for Bogey.
There was a point in time where I was like, can we get Nick Batum's expiring? Can we just
right
get, like,
exactly like
Avery's expiring? Like,
the fans have gone down an emotional journey with this too, and I think this season has kind of brought, like, some zen and some balance to everything, where it's just like, oh, Brunson is that guy. And we don't have to rely on Randle being that guy. He could just bully his way and have, like, his crazy games. And we could appreciate him for that now. And we're saying this, we're just like, if the Knicks had Julius Randle, we'd be like, oh yeah, we could take on the Celtics.
Yeah.
Without, like, yeah, just be like, oh yeah, we could definitely take him on. With ease, like, just looking at this lineup. So I think that's another, we start off with two good takes.
Yeah. Adversity brings people together. Like, when you go through hard times with a player like this, or when you go through hard times with friends, family, NBA players, Julius Randle's alike, mm-hmm. you tend to like people more when you see them go through struggles like this. And you just have to feel for Randle, because you know how bad he wants to be out there, and you know how perfect the situation would have been for him. And, like, this really would have, the stars were really aligning for him. And, like, I remember I listened to him on, like, the Roommates pod, and they talked about him, like, when he came to New York, like, why did you want to come to New York? Like, the situation was so dire and so shitty. Like, what did you envision when you're coming here? And he straight up said to Jalen, and he was like, I was visioning what we have right now. He was like, this is what I really wanted to do. And mm-hmm. like, he was like, it's just starting to come into fruition right now. Like, this is the first season where I'm really feeling like this is finally here. Like, we're finally here. And it just sucks to see it, like, get ripped out of his hands like that. So no matter who it is, no matter what the history is, like, you have to feel for a guy like that. So
I do. And he was, it's really weird to say, he was playing the best basketball of his next career.
He was. His whole NBA career, not just his next career.
No, that's true. But, like, it's very much like, I don't think there's a counter to that, if that makes sense, right? It's almost like, I feel like it's pretty definitive. Like, this was his best. He may not even make it an All-NBA team, which would have been crazy, because this would have been his best season.
Yeah.
And it really does suck. So you're going to like this one. This is from our beloved Jerry Garcia. Caring about playoff seeding is for cucks. Play the team in front of you. Take care of your own business. What happened to the strong, silent type? The Gary Coopers.
You know, this is a tremendous take. I actually think we had this take from me. Like, I submitted this 2 weeks ago. Like,
I'm pretty sure. Exactly.
But you know what? It's such a great take that I'm happy to read it back to back episodes, because I'm so tired of hearing about this. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of seeing, like, the NBA PR, like, clinching scenarios graphics every fucking morning. It's like, oh,
yeah,
if New York beats Miami and Orlando loses to Cleveland, and then Cleveland beats Atlanta, like, oh my God, stop. I don't care. Just let me know. Like, listen, this is today's Saturday. There's no games today. Tomorrow's Sunday. It's like the big NBA final day.
Mm-hmm.
Check in with me Monday morning. Let me know who we're playing. I'm fine with it. I'm not here to, like, listen, I'm not going to be watching any NBA games on Sunday besides the Knicks. And I will see who we're playing, and that'll be okay. I'm going to bed. I'm sleeping well. So great take from our beloved Jerry Garcia.
It's true. It's the team's mantra right now, too, pretty much, right? They don't care.
control what you can control one day at a time.
This is the Knicks philosophy all year. It's this combination of like Brunson. It's the Nova guys and Tibbs being like the same person on opposite spectrums almost in how they approach this ideology. But it's the same thing. They're like, they don't care. You think Tibbs cares where the seating is? No, you play the team in front of you. Brunson doesn't care. Play the team in front of you. And if we're Knicks fans and we love this team, that's the attitude we should have. They have that attitude. So our basketball robot has, once Mitch is fully back in shape, people are going to chuckle about thinking Precious might be better for the team. So
did anybody actually think this? Did anybody actually believe Precious was like the answer?
He cited a take from Schwinn probably like a month ago when Precious was having like a great something like he like him coming off the bench adds like a little more balance and flexibility and it could. And it's like, well, yeah, but like we're saying that because we love Precious. It was nothing like an indictment on Mitch. So I'm calling Basketball Robot out on saying straw man. This is a straw man take. No one said this.
Yeah, nobody said this.
No one said this.
There's a difference between like enjoying Precious and being like, hey, maybe we can bring him back on like a Luka Vildoza type contract where he's like non-guaranteed and we can like just have him around, keep him in the chamber. Like, that's fine. But I don't think anybody was like, oh, this is our Mitch replacement. Like, no, what? No. He's never been on that level and he's not going to be. So,
no, he's not going to be. Like, he stepped, like, the belovedness from Precious is he stepped up when Randall went down. He was not like Precious did not play well the first couple games in New York. Like, he did not look good. And he stepped up and he played great basketball given like the context he had to like fill in. And he was great and he's going to be beloved for that. And I think he's really good as like what? He would be like the ninth man in the rotation.
Yeah. At this point, he would be like the 10th. Like, he wouldn't even play.
Yeah. Like, it is, it's just like I'm fine with him as like the matchup mixer upper. Yeah. Almost in a way, right? Where it's just like, well, if Mitch is too big and a team is going small, we can throw in Precious, who is very mobile and can rebound, block shots, and do things defensively, right? It's like, well, that's what you want to use him for. And he's great. Also, it's like, if someone gets hurt, you can act like Precious is there. So like, I think you should keep him around. He's very valuable. I think both you and I said this at this point in the pod, where like, he's who the Knicks wanted Obi to be.
Who's exactly who the Knicks wanted Obi to be.
So, like, keep him around, and that's the ideal. I don't know. Yeah, no. Strawman basketball robot. Strawman. You just, like, no one said this. Knicks tape has, Bogey will have a 20-point playoff game in a win. Oh, yeah.
Feed this to me. Sign me up. Just let me know when. Like, I'll be there with a couple beers, and I'm looking forward to it. Please.
I think he's going to. He's been on it. Like, he's finally found his rhythm coming off the bench. And he is just, he's on a heater. Like, he is just, you can't stop him.
I don't know.
The Celtics were switching Peyton Pritchard onto him. No, I'm like, that's terrible.
He had a pull-up three, like, early in the shot clock. I don't remember what game it was. It might have been the Boston game, but he just pulled up top of the key three-pointer with not much space. Like whoever was guarding him was giving him, like, a pretty good coverage. Popped that shit. No business, no emotion after. I was like, yo, this man is a cold-blooded bucket. And
no, he's a bucket.
He's finding form like right when we needed to. And I would not be surprised if he has a 20-point playoff game and a win. And I will be there jumping up and down, clapping, screaming, going crazy. So sign me up.
He's a bucket. And I just love how like the Knicks are probably going to do an 8-man rotation come playoff time.
Yeah.
And the bench is pretty much going to be Deuce, Bogey, and Mitch.
Yep.
And Mitch is just going to get second opportunities for Bogey, and it's going to be wonderful. Like, it's like you're going to have to one and done the Knicks when like Mitch and Bogey and like Deuce are in, because they will then make like the second shot or the third opportunity. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to bring incredible balance, and I just hope Mitch gets in the shape by playoff time because he looks gassed after like.
And he's admitting it. He's like talking to media after every game, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not right. I'm not right. My conditioning is getting there. I'm just not there yet. Not there yet."
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. Like,
okay, can you get there? Like, we got a week till playoffs. Like, a week from now, like, we talk about playoffs.
So. It's like, I get it. Like, Mitch, I get it. I feel you because I can literally see you gasping, but like, hurry up. Like, Start doing the Taj where he's like, I run 10 miles over the bridge. Like nonsense. Oh, great. We have another take from Basketball Robot. Adrian Griffin was actually getting the Bucks to play at or slightly above expectations, and the Bucks made a grave error firing him for Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is part of it, but I think the Bucks made multiple grave errors this season. This, if you go, like, we're gonna need like a 30 for 30 about the 2024 Milwaukee Bucks, because if you go back to like their, okay, their training camp, you remember when they brought in like Terry Stotts to be like the de facto head coach to like ease the Griffin transition, and he was supposed to be the one who has like head coaching experience and he'll like be the offensive mind to help out Griffin. Do you remember this? So they had him in training camp for like a week or two, and then they fired him in training camp. Apparently there was like an incident where like somebody got into a screaming match. I think was like Adrian calling Griffin, over.
Yeah. I think it was Adrian Griffin didn't care for Stotts'
ideas
as if he wasn't hugely successful with Damian Lillard in Portland, right? Like, I know. Yeah. Like,
don't. It was all just weird. And like when that didn't happen, and then there was the reports that like Milwaukee's ownership was like watching practice from the floor. Like they weren't in their office. Like they were walking down onto the court during practices and just like staring at Griff. They were also like on the phone with Doc. Apparently Doc was like brought in as an advisor while Griffin was still there. And like Doc was like the voice in the ear of ownership, like during the Griffin. It's like the whole thing, this whole Bucks saga has just been a nightmare collision of ideas and minds and people here. And I don't think like Doc is not the person who's going to mend this and make this all perfect. And it's all going to work out in the end. So I just don't know what they're thinking. And look, they're talented enough where like things can go their way and like they might win a series or two or three, really. But yeah. I don't think that like the Bucks made a grave error hiring Doc, but they made a grave error in the beginning, just like doing all of this combined. And like, I like Budenholzer and maybe you could have kept him, but like you probably could have hired another coach instead of Griffin and then just done it the right way and stuck with a plan the whole year and not just change course four different times and had eight different opinions clashing at the same time. And the whole thing is just a disaster, and I can't see it ending in a championship. So
I just want to shout out again, if you sign up for our Patreon, you'll know this early in this entire season, we've had a patron, Squeege, AKA the Milwaukee Bucks, like stock shorter, very much was like, this team doesn't have it. And all of us, including myself, were like, they got Dame and Giannis. How can they not work? Squeech, shout out to Squeech. You know what? You've been on the money since like August.
Yeah, we should have seen this coming though. But like, what has Dame done to make us believe like this was the year that it's going to work out for Dame?
I'll tell you what it is. I can at least speak for myself. I can't obviously for anyone else. Is you could just play just simple basketball with Giannis and Dame.
Just spam the girls.
Yeah, just pick and rolls. If you're trapping Dame, short roll stuff, have Giannis at the top of the key, at the post. Like, you can do pretty much anything with those two, right? They should, in theory, be an elite pairing.
Yeah.
And look, they're the second seed. They've done very well. But, like,
we know what they are. Yeah, we know what they are. Also, like, Malik Beasley being your perimeter defender next to Dame.
Yeah.
Come on. Like,
well, you saw that when the Knicks played Milwaukee.
They were torching them with Brunson out there. And, like, nobody can guard them.
They don't have an option. They play drop. And I understand why they play drop. They're great at drop coverage because Brook is an elite defensive center in that drop coverage. But, hey, guess what? You can't. There's certain guys you can't play drop against. Jalen Brunson may be at the top of that list right now, the way he's playing. So, like, bad coaching. And guess what? That's Doc Rivers for you. So, and that is where we are going to end the free preview. Again, go to the strict.land.com strict.land to find and then search for our link to our Patreon there to come and support us. Or you can just go to patreon.com/Strickland. You'll get to hear the whole episode of this and even better takes on the Patreon side. So we will see you then on the other side.